Hello there. I like to smile once in a while at the people, cheer them up, that are joining us online or in a small group. We continue in practical prayer, how we can develop a practical prayer life in the prayer closet or wherever we may pray personally, but then taking those elements of prayer out into the marketplace, into our homes, and live out the quality that prayer builds in us. That's why we call it practical prayer. These are 12 steps for cultivating daily delight in personal prayer. And at the beginning of every one of these sessions, I remind us of the words of Jesus in Matthew 26:40, where he said to his disciples, first he said it to Peter, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And to look at that in our context today, it is like the Lord is saying to us, you have 24 hours every day, you sleep 8 of them, if you have a healthy sleep habit, you may work 8, but then what are you doing with the other 8? And I believe that every believer could set aside in the Word and in prayer a devotional time, an hour, if they knew how to do it. Step number 8, we come to that now. It is Thanksgiving. Say Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving is a vital part of prayer. The basic definition is the act of expressed appreciation. The action focuses articulated gratitude. See, gratitude is a heart thought. Gratitude really is inward. You're grateful. It's a feeling, it's an attitude. But when you put that into words, it's articulated gratitude. And the key word is appreciation. In other words, we are demonstrating with our words appreciation for what the Lord has done. Harold Lindzell, the one-time editor of Christianity Today and a great Bible teacher, said this: Thanksgiving is the act of expressing mental or oral gratitude to God for his blessings and mercies. Moreover, the giving of thanks should include heartfelt praise in accepting things we do not like and thanking God that the apparently evil tidings were not worse ones. Thus it was that John Wesley could thank God that he broke only his arm in an accident, not his head. Now I relate to that. I really relate to that. I'd rather have a broken rib than a broken head. And in the last lesson, I mentioned my little experience of slipping on the ice. Well, you know what I didn't tell you, though? Over the next few nights, God profoundly spoke to me. Because remember, I had told my wife she had to be careful how to walk on the ice. I had told my mother-in-law, you have to be careful how you walk on the ice. I proceeded to go out on the ice and fall on my head and my rib. And I said, Lord, are you speaking to me? And he instantly came this scripture from 1 Corinthians. I think it's chapter 11, but it's, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. And now we laugh at that, but we had just had a pastor's conference here. And the wonderful brother, H.B. London, of Focus on the Family, was one of the speakers who began to describe how just suddenly leaders can fail in one moment. Why? And so, and it wasn't because I felt that God was looking at my life and thought, well, you're headed for some disaster. But I'll tell you one thing. I'd be grateful to God if I were headed for some disaster that he warned me ahead of time. And so I began to really pray over those next numbers of days about that very issue. Take heed, take heed, take heed. Now we're talking about Thanksgiving. And I could pause right here and say, don't you thank God when he does caution you? When he does call to your attention to be alert. First Thessalonians, this is a biblical basis now. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Which doesn't mean pray 24 hours a day. It really means have a continuing spirit of prayer. The expression in the Greek language that was translated into without ceasing here is a word that appears nowhere else in the Greek New Testament. This is the only place. So you have to go to the common Greek of that day to find the usage of that word. And the most common usage of that word in those days of the common Greek language is the expression of a hacking cough. That's a hacking cough is you cough whenever the urge comes to cough. It's just, in other words, it's always there. When you have a hacking cough, you never know when you're going to cough. You cough when you need to cough. And this is saying, be alert to pray whenever any need arises. Be in a spirit of prayer. But then it says in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Not necessarily the bad thing that happened is the will of God, but having an attitude and a spirit of thanksgiving in those circumstances that come. Let me read this from the New Living Translation, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Be thankful in all circumstances. Now that catches the meaning. For this is God's will, that you are thankful, that you have a thankful spirit no matter what happens. Not thanking God that you smashed up your car. Oh, this must have been the will of God. But the fact that in that circumstance you know that something worse could have happened. That's what I think about on my falling on the ice. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. In everything give thanks. I know I've told this story before, but I know there's many here that may not have heard it. And I heard it from one of our Indian leaders who had heard this directly from the man to whom it had happened, another well-known leader in India. In India, you know, if you want to go someplace, you usually catch a bus or a train. And if you've ever seen pictures of it, if a train car comfortably handles 40 people, it'll have about 100. And they're hanging off of everything. And the same with buses. And then they have express buses where you can catch a bus and it may go 200 miles to a city and it doesn't stop at every little spot. This leader was on his way to some distant city catching an express bus, and everybody got on the bus, and he absolutely could not believe it when the driver started the bus and closed the door. The seat beside him was empty. So he began to thank God, because after all, the scripture says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. So he began to thank the Lord that he was going to have this big space, this seat, all the way to that distant city. As the bus began to pull away, there was a great big banging on the door. Someone else apparently wanted to get on and was beating on the bus. And the door opened, and this preacher said he proceeded to see the largest woman he had ever seen in his entire life get on the bus holding groceries in one hand, a child in the other. And she looked down the rows for a place to sit. And he said, she spotted my row. She spotted my seat. And he thought, oh, no, no. And he said, oh, also, not only a large woman, but you could tell the instant she walked on the bus that she had not bathed in probably 2 or 3 years. Now, here's this woman coming at him, holding this child that's probably going to cry all the way, and this girl plops down next to him and literally thrusts him up against the window. So his face is against the window. He can hardly breathe. And the scripture comes to him again. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And barely able to speak and breathe, he said, God, how can I thank you for this? And he said in his beautiful Indian accent, the Lord said, well, you can begin by thanking me that she is not your wife. I chuckle every time I think of that. Now, I've been blessed with a wonderful wife, and by the way, a good mother-in-law, wonderful mother-in-law, and I heard the story the other day about a guy out raking his leaves, and a processional started by his house, very slow, of two hearses, leading the way, and behind the second hearse was a man dressed up in a suit with his dog, and behind him was a line of men. Oh, maybe about 200 in length. And this was really odd to him. So he ran out, came up beside the man with the dog behind the two hearses, and he said, well, who's in the first hearse? And he said, that's my wife. Oh, I'm so sorry. How'd she die? My dog here bit her. Oh, who's in the second hearse? That's my mother-in-law. How did she die? And my dog here bit her. And the guy who had been raking the leaves thought for a minute and said, could I borrow your dog? And he said, get in line. So I thought I'd give you a little chuckle here in the midst of our talking about being thankful for everything. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, pray diligently, stay alert. By the way, I'll tell a funny story now and then because it does keep people alert. Some of you are falling asleep a minute ago. Then you're thinking about that dog. Pray diligently, stay alert with your eyes wide open. In gratitude. In gratitude. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Colossians 3:15, giving these scriptures quickly. Let the peace of Christ rule your hearts. We've got to allow the peace of Christ to rule our hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And then he just tacks this on, and be thankful. You know, he's talking not just about what we do in prayer, but demonstrate and live out a lifestyle of gratitude. That's what I desire for our staff here at Every Home for Christ, is that they would just live this spirit of hospitality, live this spirit of being thankful, never taking things for granted. Hebrews, another scripture, chapter 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Let us be thankful. Here's a summary definition of thanksgiving. In just as all of these are in four words, a time to appreciate. A time to appreciate. Being sensitive. Sensitive to what God has done. Some years ago, God got a hold of me on this thought. We lived in California, and I decided to spend an entire day, the time I would normally spend in the office, I would spend in prayer doing nothing but thanking God for every name of every person that came to my mind in my entire life at that time. And then not only that, I got a printout of all the names of people who had given to our ministry at that time. And this was not, I was not at Every Home for Christ, so the list was smaller, but it still was hundreds. And I remember beginning, I actually laid on my face almost the whole day and began to thank God for every name in my mind that came to me of youth pastors, of leaders, of pastors of our churches, of things that happened at camps when I was a young child, memories. I didn't want to leave anybody out. And I can tell you, by that afternoon, I was just weeping. I was reading names on a list of people that gave us funds, and I'd never been to the city, and I didn't even know who they were other than their name. Somehow they heard about what we were doing and began to share. It's that spirit of thanksgiving, and how many know every single day there's something to be thankful for from the Lord? The founder of our ministry, Jack McAllister, used to take some of the executive staff off for retreats at different times. We were in Southern California, a few-hour drive to Palm Springs, and I remember one time we went out to Palm Springs, and that executive staff of leaders and directors would probably have been about 25. And I remember when we went into this large room of this house that where he had hired that weekend or rented for the retreat, all the chairs had been placed in a circle. But there were different kinds of chairs. A few were folding chairs. Some were real cushiony type chairs. There was a couch where about three of us sat on. And when you walked in, it was a circle, but an opening. And I'm describing this for a reason, because I ended up sitting on the seat right by this opening, and the founder of our ministry and then president was sitting right across from me. And he began to speak as he shared. He said, this morning we're going to do something different. He said, I don't think I've ever done this before. He said, and he kind of motioned toward me. He said, we're going to go around the circle. And we're all going to thank God for something we're absolutely certain we've never thanked him for before. And I was sitting in a rather comfortable chair. And because I was going to be the first one, I thought, oh, this is a creative thing to thank the Lord for. I'm going to thank him for this chair and how comfortable this chair is, because I've never even sat in it before. It's brand new. Maybe not a new chair, but I mean my experience. So that I'm thinking, because, you know, you think ahead when you know that you're all going to pray. So he keeps saying, we're going to go around the circle. And then all of a sudden he says, and we're going to start with Mary Ann here. And he pointed that way. And I thought, oh, good, it gives me more time. But you know the first thing she thanked God for? I want to thank God for this comfortable chair. I've never sat in it before. And I mean, as we started going around, then I thought, oh, the beauty, the beauty. I must have thought of five or six things to thank the Lord for. The beauty of looking out at those mountains, they're just purpley. The hue of it. And it's only in this moment you'd see that, because the way the sun is shining. And the minute I thought, that's what I'm going to thank the Lord for, the next person said, Lord, as I look at those beautiful mountains, and I started to say, if you say they're pretty and beautiful, and that person said exactly that, the beautiful purple color. And then I thought of a few more things, and every time I thought of something, someone said it. Finally, I thought to myself, we couldn't even read, because of the darkness in the room, we couldn't read anything, our Bibles, if it weren't for electricity. And by now, see, it had come to the next person. And I said, Lord, I'm going to thank you for electricity. And so help me. Not only did the person next to me say that, but he prayed really briefly. He just said, Lord, I thank you for electricity so we can read our Bibles. Amen. And there I was just dead in the water, nothing. And you know what came out? I just sat there and said, oh, Lord, I just thank you for this moment because I've never had it before. There's always something that you can thank God for. There's always something. Last night I was awakened, and it might have been because of the condition of my ribs and all that, and I was taking some medication, and as I was laying there and not able to sleep, I thought, well, I need to just begin thanking the Lord for things. I mean, I doubt very seriously that most of us here have ever thanked God for our pillow. I mean, really think about it. Or the bedspread, or whatever it may be. And there's so many little things. And you, what it does, it creates within you a recognition of how much God has given you. It's awesome. Look at this voice from the past, Dwight L. Moody. Dwight L. Moody, who said, among all the apostles, none suffered so much as Paul. But none of them do we find so often giving thanks as he. Take his letter to the Philippians. Remember what he suffered at Philippi, how they laid many stripes upon him and cast him into prison. Yet every chapter in that epistle speaks of rejoicing and giving thanks. There is that well-known passage, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He just lived out a spirit of thanksgiving. Here's a prayer application. Here's a prayer application. Write this down. Confess personal blessings. Confess personal blessings. I have mentioned to you under the third step of prayer, which is confession, that the word in the Hebrew, which is translated confession into the English, and the word in the Greek, which is translated confession in English, both words mean, by definition, to agree with. So when the Holy Spirit convicts me that something is wrong, I agree with that conviction and say, yes, I admit that's wrong. Here we're talking about confessing personal blessings by simply agreeing that this is a blessing that has come from God, even if I think I earned it or somehow I did something that caused another thing to happen, yet God enabled me. Andrew Murray said, another voice from the past, Andrew Murray said, thanksgiving will draw our hearts to God and keep us engaged with Him. It will take our attention from ourselves and give the Spirit room to move in our hearts. Beautiful statement. Beautiful thought. Here's a life application. Remember, we talk about what we do in prayer for each of these qualities, but how do we take this attitude and make it a lifestyle? Listen, I just want to challenge you, and here it is. Everybody smile now. Become a walking thank you. I mean, literally cultivate a spirit of acknowledging what people do for you. That is tremendously important in marriage, because we can take for granted those that are closest to us. In the very first year of the very first aspect of our ministry that Dee and I had, we were youth leaders in Wisconsin, southern Wisconsin, and we had a hayride. You know what a hayride is? You go out and you get some hay and you ride. Usually a tractor pulls it. Sometimes you get the horses, and usually you do it. This was November. There was snow on the ground. It was cold. We went out to the farm owned by Dick Hartnell, who was a deacon in the church where we were. And he was so kind, so gracious. I mean, the hot chocolate, the hot dogs, the tractor, the bales of hay, and everything just for us to have a little fellowship time with the young people. Well, about that time, around that time, I had seen a little thing you could get in a Christian bookstore or something in little stacks called a thank you gram. Looked like a Western Union telegram, but it was called a thank you gram. So I sent Dick Hartnell a thank you gram telling what it meant to Dee and me that he would go to all the trouble he went to just host us in that way. Well, I got a thank you note back as the result of my thank you note, in which Dick Hartnell said, I've been in church these many years. He described how many years. I've done so many different things. I've lost count of little things. He said, yours is the very first thank you note that I've ever received for something I've done. Well, because his thank you note was the very first thank you note I received for his thank you note, I sat down and wrote him a thank you note for sending this thank you note saying, I'm starting in ministry and this is the very first thank you note I've ever... Now, we could have kept doing this, you know, back and forth, thanking each other for the thank you note. But you know what happened? I felt good. I just felt good by what he had said, and that somehow the simple act of writing that little note meant something. You know what? In my life, even in a staff like we have, there are people that have a spirit of thankfulness. My wife was commenting that the other day when someone came by to thank us for something. And she actually said to me afterwards, you know, you can always count on him to come by and say thank you. It's just something about them. And you know what it does? It pours warm oil over you. It makes you feel, if you're not feeling so good that day, or you've had a little struggle here or struggle there, that someone out there appreciates what you're doing, what you're saying. Cultivate that spirit. I need to work on it. We all need to work on it. But begin in prayer. Begin by taking time to thank God. I remember one day when I went on a Thanksgiving walk. And all I did there was I began to thank God. Like, for example, I thanked God for that I wasn't colorblind and that I could see the beauty of the flowers. And then I thank God that he created us to be able. See, animals can look at a beautiful flower and they have no concept that it's beautiful. To all of our knowledge of what they're able to comprehend because of the lack of ability even communicating what they did see, if they could comprehend it. And I was thanking God for all these different things. And all what happened was it just poured upon me a sense of how good God is. And so I want to encourage you to bring this into your prayer time. Where to next? Well, Thanksgiving, here's four ways to get started and keep going. And here at the Watchman Training Center, we are developing all of this, this 12 steps into a plan for people that want to come and spend a half a day in prayer and with music and worship added to these types of prayer. It's not lengthy teaching like I'm doing now, but simply introducing an aspect of prayer and then letting them go on their own little journey for a little while in that aspect of prayer, and then go on to the next one and the next one. And it's developed in a half a day and also a whole day of prayer. We will tell you more about that when we come to the very last lesson of these, the 14 of these lessons. But here, the conclusion to step number 8 in world-changing prayer. You see in your workbook also, or on the back of it, those steps again. But here they are. The 4 points that go with this particular step is, begin Thanksgiving by thinking about all God has given you in recent days, even today. And you know what I think of? I'm going to say this again. Yesterday, I was in such pain that I knew that I absolutely could not teach today. Absolutely knew it. There was a, well, if you can't walk, you can't move, and you're having trouble breathing. And then I look at Dee praying for me. And I look at the staff praying for me. And I'm standing up here. And the Lord just reminded me, where's your pain? It's not there. It's not there at all. No indication whatsoever. And so there's always things you can thank God for. I mean, just the other day, Tim Middlebrook, our executive director, called me to say we had received a very substantive grant for our ministry from a foundation. Very substantive. The interesting thing was we never applied for it. We never even asked for it. And to our knowledge, until a few weeks ago, they didn't even know who we were. But they were talking to someone in another foundation that said, you can really trust these people. And they made that decision. Well, then we found out they're a foundation that does not accept proposals. They just pray, and whatever God directs them, that's the direction they go. See, there's always something to be thankful for. And so begin Thanksgiving by thinking about all God has given you in recent days. Number two, use these moments of reflection as a basis for offering specific thanksgiving for spiritual, material, physical, external blessings. I think in the external here, I'm thinking about sometimes it may be someone else that's blessed, a family member or someone else. We need to thank God for the blessing them. I was looking in my diary the other day, just a couple days ago. And just noticed that it was a year ago that our daughter, who is here working, that someone gave them a beautiful car, a van, because they had two more children move in with them that they're seeking to adopt. And they just, I mean, they needed a van desperately, and someone gave them one. Well, they actually sold it to him for $1, but and I loaned her the dollar. But I was thinking about, you can look back and reflect on things that were so wonderful at the time. They were wonderful. It was a miracle. But we shouldn't forget those miracles. Periodically, we should go back and say, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for that. So number three, frequently thank God in advance for blessings you expect him to bestow on you in the future. Now that's kind of faith thanksgiving. God, I want to thank you in advance for this. Thank you, thank you. Number four, thank God for at least one particular blessing. That's what we just did or talked about a minute ago. One particular blessing you have not thanked him for previously. And we're going to do that in a little while, so you'll have an opportunity to thank him. Listen, I would be very surprised, but it could be possible. But I'd be very surprised if someone here has actually, at some point in your life, thanked God for the socks you have on right now. I would be surprised. Now, you might have. But you, well, no, Dick, look, you don't, that's getting too specific and it's almost silly. But we need to recognize God's given us everything we have. Everything we have. Thank God for at least one particular blessing you have not thanked him for previously. Now, ponder points, discuss or ponder why you think it is important that we verbalize our thanks for the blessings God has given us. In what ways do you think we can take the act of thanksgiving during prayer into our everyday life by developing a thankful spirit? Now think about that. You can talk about that. Then we're going to pray. And this is where we're going to apply what I've suggested. Take time to thank God for at least one blessing he has given you. And at least one, it can be more than one. At least one blessing he has given you that you are certain you have never thanked him for in the past. Then thank him by faith for an answered prayer that has not yet come, but something for which you are trusting him for an answer. It's a good thing to think about. And I'm thinking of some answers to prayer that have happened in the last 48 hours that really deeply have moved my heart. And they are literally answers to prayer for several months ago that I just, have you ever prayed for something and almost you know God can do it? Maybe sometimes it has to do with another person's free will and their choices, and you know you can't change that. And you say, why am I even praying this? But then you pray it anyway because you know God's will is to transform that person or change that situation. And you pray it, and then all of a sudden, one day you wake up and you hear this or you hear that, and the prayer was answered. Ah, there's a lot of answered prayers. There's a whole room in heaven full of them.